So this morning, as you see, part 8, you can read, we want to talk about mission possible. Can you hear it? Here we go. Mission possible, not impossible. Our mission here on earth is possible. Come on, say it with me. Our mission on earth is possible. Sometimes there might be mountains and there might be big rivers and there might be valleys and there might be a whole bunch of boulders and we just call them situations and instances and opportunities, and there might be all this problem that we go, oh, it's impossible. I don't want to tell you today, I want to encourage you today that mission is possible. Let's go to the book of Luke. Luke in the book, I did say chapter 9. And he called the 12 together, verse 1, and he gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he said to them to go out and proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. And he said to them a very interesting thing. Take nothing for your journey, no staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics or two jackets. Wow. Go out on this mission. Do not take anything with you. Don't take your iPad, don't take your iPhone or your BlackBerry. I know, some of you are freaking out already. Because you, if you're anything like me, I shouldn't even tell you this, eh? I walk around the house with this thing in, or in my pocket or stuck to my hip, you know, just in case somebody calls. Yeah, thank you. There you go. I know why I do that, because I'm a shepherd. The question of mission possible, though. Oh, let's go the right way. Luke 9, 1 and 6. What is the coded message? Because we're all agents on a mission today. What is the coded message of the mission? It is all power, all authority over demons and to cure diseases has already been given to us. Turn to someone and say, that's me, that's you. Now, do it with a little bit of passion, a little bit of, I believe this. I actually do, I believe this. Don't stare at me. Turn to each other. Say it. Come on, a little bit of passion. I have the coded message. It's all power, all authority has been given over demons. I have nothing to fear. You don't understand, Mark. No, I do understand, because we're having demonic attacks in our house. But we don't allow it to overcome us. We call on the name of Jesus and they flee. And we say, in Jesus' name, this house is free. And they go, woo, out the window. You know that's how demons leave? Woo. Oh my word. All power, all authority is being given by our brother Jesus to us. We have the delegated authority. We have to learn to believe this thing. We have to understand it in our spirit so that it's not like, I don't know what to do. Mission possible. What is our mission possible? It is to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Bible 101. That's what it's all about. Houston, we have a problem. The problem are the agents. I was very careful to tell Cam, not to point the gun at anyone in case someone got offended. He pointed a gun at me. So he chose to point it at the wall and at me instead. The agents think that it's M's job to do this thing. Mark. It just came to me now. Oh, I'll slay myself. They think that, no, the pastor's got to do it all, and we just come to church, we just arrive in church, and something they hear, we sing some songs, we listen to him go on for some time, and then we all go home and we're all happy. No, that's why we have these things. There's still too many sitting in this box. Come on. We need to hand these out because we are agents. Pull out your calling card. I'm an agent of heaven. I'm an agent of the kingdom. Have one. Take one. Come and see that the Lord is good and He is faithful and He endures forever. Proclaim the kingdom. Take nothing. We've been called a mission to extend one of our values, to extend the kingdom of God. That's what we're all about. And you say, but Mark, you've been going on about this thing for a few weeks. I know. Praise God. Because we want to get the message. I want you to walk out of here walking 2 inches above the ground saying, I can do this. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. Not because Mark says so. Because when I speak from heaven. Not with words, eloquent words of man like Paul says, but with the wisdom of God that He downloaded and gave to me. And that's why I even put it on Facebook. I'm so excited to preach this word today. You probably get there by now, but that's okay. We all have the necessary tool. I've put the little toolbox in there. That's what that is, our tool belt. We all have the necessary tools. It's not like we're standing on a construction site and going, I don't know. Chris has got all the right tools, and Mark's got them, and Michael's got them, and Kevin's got them, and Janine, and Susan, and Trish has got them, and Bridget's got them, and, well, and the deacons, they got some. We just got nothing. No, we have it all. You have gift. You've been gifted. The Bible's very clear about that. You have the word, the power, the prayer power, the authority. You have the plans. If you didn't know, I've just given them to you. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you who will give you utterances when you don't know what to say. He will give you prayers when you don't know what to pray. But we go, I don't know what to pray. Okay. He says, Holy Spirit, what should I pray? Thank you, Janine. Anybody else? Oh, sorry, Chris. Chris going to... The problem for so long is that the church has almost told you that it's the guy at the top. It's the pastor's job. That's a lie from the devil. Stop it. Eradicate it from your brain. Little bit of surgery. Well, we're just going to let the others do it. Well, who are the others? No, they said so. Who are they? We are so willing and excited to listen to the they. And then we say, who's they? And you go, everybody. Who's everybody? Yeah, me. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 says that when He ascended into heaven, He gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. That they may equip the body of Christ to be agents, to do the work of the ministry. That's what my job is. Oh, you mean we have to do something? Yeah. The agent's contact is Jesus. You know, when the agent goes into foreign territory, he's got to have a contact. You know, land in the parachute and hide the parachute and all that kind of stuff. And then they've got to have a contact. And then he emerges out of the forest. Bonjour, welcome to my country. Yeah, follow me, you know. And you follow. And Our contact is Jesus, King of the universe. Luke chapter 9, 57. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, the contact person, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, some harsh words here, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." And yet another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." And Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." We have the eager agent. He hasn't thought of, the tool belt. Yeah, he hasn't thought about the tool belt. He hasn't thought about what is it going to cost me. No, I mean, that's like, to be a helicopter pilot sounds like a really cool thing. I'm just going to go and be one. Until they take you a first ride up in a helicopter and you go, this is a really stupid idea. Or like I did once. A friend of mine was a microlighter. Do you know what a microlighter is? As you call it here, a microlighter. It's made out of little aluminum steel things like this and steel wires and plastic. And it's got a lawnmower motor. And when he tried to start it, it wouldn't start. And he took a coat hanger and he bent the coat hanger, put it over, and then started the thing. He said, "Jump in." I sent Bridget first. I'm joking, man. And she did go first, but because I know you're going to go and ask her, she's going to tell you she did go. But the motor broke down after she and Louise had already been gone. And I'm like, "Me? Yeah, no, well, it's good manners. You open the door for the woman, the wife, you know, goes first." So I jump in this thing and I go up. And I'm flying it high. And it's freezing cold out there. And he says, "Do you want to hear a cool thing?" I said, "What?" Because we've got little headphones, we're speaking. "What?" Kills the engine. I quietly screamed, "Switch this thing back on!" He said, "Isn't it so quiet and beautiful up here?" I said, "No!" Because I'm already remembering this thing didn't start on the ground. And so now he's like, "Man, that's very cool." Plastic. And I'm like, "Whoa, this is eager." Come on, I'm an eager agent. Haven't counted the cost. Let's go do this. I don't, where are we going? Enemy territory. Really? I thought we were going to go some fun place. Anyway, he to finish the story, he said, "No, he knows how to do a dead landing. They have to do it to get their license." I said, "I don't care. Tell somebody who cares." Yeah, like when we go on any mission assignment, any kind of a road trip or anything, there's a whole lot of preparation and stuff that's got to go into it. But here we have the eager disciple going, "Oh, well, Lord, I'll go with you." And then he says, "Do you realize that I don't really have a place to sleep and I'm not sure where we're going because I already told the guys, don't take anything with you." Ooh, okay. And I think, poetic license, I think they're all standing there and the next guy heard it and he was like, I'll follow you, Jesus, but I need to go and bury my father first. You know what the point is that Jesus was probably going to die before that guy's father because Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. He was on his way to the cross. He'd already prophesied his death. And the point he was saying is not so much what we hear straight away. What he was saying, let the spiritually dead bury the dead. Let those that are who know don't know. But as for you who are spiritually alive, the kingdom of God is waiting to hear your voice. When we go on an agent, we're thinking of, I know we talk about camping. Chris says, "Is there a foyer and silk sheets?" I said, "Camping?" Yeah. Jesus says, "I have no idea." We're on this journey, but we have no idea when he calls. And he will call, and he will say, batter up. And he will call us sometime, and we'll be standing in our cleats and all our nice uniform, and I'm a Christian, I'm ready for the gospel, I'm ready to do this. And nothing happens, and nothing happens. And then one day Jesus says, batter up. And you go, this is with my family, Jesus. These are with my friends who knew me or know me, Jesus. And he's going to say, batter up. Shall I tell you what the smart thing is to do? It's not because I did it, but it's a smart thing, I thought. When I got saved, I had 5 buddies in business. And 2 of them worked with me, and 3 of them, I was their client. And so we worked together, etc., etc. And 3 of them lived 600 kilometers away, and 2 lived close by. And I said, Jesus, let's just get this thing over with. I want to be able to tell them that I got saved. I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I know it's good Bible, and so I want to be able to do that. Will you make it possible? In 1 week, all 5 came into my life, and I was able to tell them that I'd crossed over. I'd gone into light, out of darkness. I was now heaven-bound, not hell-bound, and all that kind of good stuff. And you know what? One of them, who was not saved at all, who had no intention of getting saved, who'd never darkened the doorway, prophesied over me. How does that work? Well, because whether you're saved or not, if you have the gift, the prophetic gift, they call it something else. We call it prophetic. And he said to me, within 3 years, Mark, he says, you're not going to be in business anymore. You'll be in the ministry. I was like, the saved one said, you're nuts. You're crazy. Where'd you get that idea from? Well, here we go. Sometimes we don't know where we're going. We know we want to go. God took us, took Bridget and I, on what we like to call our alphabetical journey. I was in South Africa, and I had this burden for a city and a town and a country called the United States of America and a city called Alabama. Can I just say something? A white little boy from South Africa who grew up in the apartheid era to go to Alabama to minister. I thought that was the best thing ever, and I said, Jesus, I think you've got an amazing sense of humor. But that didn't happen. And then someone said, there's a growing group of people in this place called Barbados. Who'd like to go and minister there? Sure, I know. Who doesn't want to go to Barbados? I had to go and look it up on a map. I didn't care. I wanted to go. So we went there. And they wanted to tell me how I should run the church and what I should preach and all that kind of stuff. And I said, nah, somehow I don't think this is going to work out for us. So we didn't get to go to Barbados. And then I went home and I just thought, well, babes, I think we're going to go to Cape Town. We're going to go and plant a church in Cape Town because Cape Town's a cool place to go and plant a church. And that didn't work out. And then we ended up in Care for Canada. And so the point is that we were willing. We didn't get up here and say, well, you've got to have 3 scriptures, you've got to have 4 prophetic words and 7 signs in the sky. I don't know. It didn't work for me like that. I just said, Lord, I prayed, Isaiah chapter 6. I was in a pastor's meeting, and I stood there, and the Lord said, just read this passage out to the people. And I started to read it, and as I got halfway through, I started to weep and cry. The next night, we have a prayer meeting. We've got all the flags of the countries up there, and the Lord says to me, go and pick up the Canadian flag. I went up, and as I picked it up and started to wave it, I started to weep and cry. People, what's wrong with you? I said, I have no idea. I have such a heart for Canada. I said, where's that? I said, I think it's the cold place up in the north somewhere. I could tell you more and more, but that's not what I'm here for you today. Where did we get to? I got to eager agent. Then we get the reluctant agent. We spoke about him a little. Let the spiritually dead bury the physical dead. That's what they were saying. Jesus was on his way to the crucifixion. The last one. The someday agent. Someday, Lord. Someday I'll come. I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to those at my home. Someday, when I'm good and ready, Lord, I'll follow you. When I'm good and ready, I'll commit my life to Jesus. When I'm good and ready, when it's all okay for me, when I've got my affairs in order. When we say someday, we say, I'm not ready to do the will of the Father. We're saying someday because I have an emotional attachment to my life. I don't want to give my life to Jesus because that means I'm going to have to stop drinking beer. And I don't want to just stop drinking beer. I'm just talking about me. I'm not talking about you. It was my excuse. Because I like to drink beer. And I was like, no, I've watched these Christians. And the minute they think and they can't do this and they can't do that and they can't do the other and they can't. They get you up the front. They tell you, now you're saved. Now let me tell you all the rules. And that's why we call it law. And that's why we have to learn to live in God's grace. And grace is there for us. And when we don't understand God's grace, we live in law because we are like that. Because when we go to school, we grow up in school and we're told what we can, what we can't, what we can, what we can't. Then we get to high school, what we can, what we can't. Then we get to university, we've got more rules. Then we get into the company, we think, yes, I made it. And then you're just this little fish in the big fish tank all over again. Because you keep getting promoted to being the big shark in the tank. And then you get high school. Well, now I'm just a little guppy in the tank now. Then you get to grade 12 and now I'm the shark. And then you go to university, year one. Oh, now I'm the guppy. This is life cycle. And we have this attachment to life and our importance. And I'm going way off my notes. That's why we need to get rid of the emotional attachment to life and attach ourselves to the lifeline, to Jesus. That's why we have to renew our mind. That's why we did the whole series on metamorphosis, so that we can renew our minds, that we can change, that we change into the sons and daughters of God, that this is not a big burden, this is not an issue. Because we move from, it's convenient for me to come to church sometimes, and it's convenient for me not to come to church sometimes. And then we have a contract. Well, God, if you do this for me, then I'll do this for you. And we become contract Christians. You know, our own CC company. The only CC company we should belong to is the covenant one. Because God and Jesus cut a covenant for us. We didn't cut the covenant. We are recipients of the covenant. We walk in the glory and the blessing and the openness of the covenant. And Jesus paid with it, for it with his blood. So we can be good agents. And the last one, of course, is an active agent. I'm spending way too much time on this. When we're in the field, we want to pioneer and steer the way. As a leadership team here, we have to pioneer and steer the way and create a furrow like this, the way through the Red Sea, as it were. And you need to create the furrow and pioneer the way for those that you're going to come behind you, those that you're going to witness to, those that you're going to disciple, those that you're going to talk to, those of you that you're going to invite, those of you that you're going to explain. When the Ethiopian, as we spoke about last, when the Ethiopian comes along and he says, I don't know what I'm reading, you can say, hey, let me jump up on your chariot and I'll explain it to you. But what does that require, Mark? That only requires obedience and a heart and to listen to the Holy Spirit. Because you don't have to make up the words. You don't have to make it up. So Holy Spirit, what does he need to hear today? He needs to hear that I am real. Okay. Jesus says you need to know that he is real. Okay. And you go, but there's no great wonder in that. No, but you don't know the fireworks, the explosion that you just ignited in the heart of that person. I'm looking at the time, trying to. I get stories as I don't make. I don't prepare these stories. They just. We were ready to go and plant the church. We were ready to leave. We were ready to go. And part and parcel why we believe the Lord gave us the name for the bridge. It's got nothing to do with Bridget's name. Some of you might think that. Absolutely got nothing to it, because then I would be a foolish man. And then all the elders and their wives would be foolish people. Yeah, we're in this together. So Bridget's feeling like, oh man, Lord, I don't even know if you know my name. And because we're going now, we're packing, we're selling our house, we're selling everything, we're moving to another land, we've got 6 suitcases, we're like, people are saying, have you two lost your minds? How are you doing this? I said, we're going on blind, stupid faith. That's how we're doing this. Welcome, Kevin. And she met a couple 9 years before that who were homeless. And they had nothing. They were living out of a minivan on the beachfront. And Bridget went down, was walking along the beachfront, met this couple, a very, very Afrikaans couple. And she just met them and said, what are you doing? So she drives. We live 25 kilometers from the beach. So she drives 25 k's, comes home, gets a whole bag of foodstuffs and stuff. And she takes a toilet seat. You know those pretty little covers you put on your toilet? Well, I don't know if you do. You put on the back of the toilet. Looks like sheep's fur and all made out of knit in there. And you put them around the thing. We got this thing like. So she takes this. And she goes, anyway. And she's going now. I said, why are you taking that? She's, no, I just want to give it to them. I said, babes, they're homeless. She's, yeah, I'm going to give it to them anyway. So she gives it to them. 9 years later, phone rings on a whatever day, phone rings. Hello? She says, hello? Is there Bridges? She says, yeah. She says, this is Jan. She said, hello, Jan. She says, ach, Bridges, you met me and my wife 9 years ago. You know, and that beautiful toilet cover thing you gave me is still in our home. We have a home now, and I have a job. And it's on my toilet in my home. And she says, oh, that's wonderful. I'm just telling you what he said. Okay, don't shoot me. She says, I was sitting on the toilet this morning, and the Lord reminded me that it was you that gave me this thing. And I want to tell you, the Lord told me to find you. So he's page to the phone book and to tell you that the Lord has got you in the right place and you will be a bridge wherever you go. And you're going somewhere far away and you must trust him. Okay, thank you. 9 years later, Jan telling us he's got this lovely toilet seat on his toilet. I don't know why I told you that, but anyway. Where are we? We need to be an active agent. It says here, Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. When we learn to plow and we need to go and we pioneer and create the way, we need to plow a straight line. You don't put your hand and then the farmer never. Where's Paul? For when he's plowing the land, he doesn't like, geez, how am I doing? Because you know what's going to happen. It's like riding a bicycle. Some of you who've done that, you're going along the road and you want to look, more no hands, you know. You've got to stay focused. An active agent must stay focused. And that's why Jesus said, don't take all this extra stuff with you. Don't get excited about it. But we'll see later in Luke chapter 22, and he says, now when you go out. And the point was, stay focused and trust in me. Don't trust in your money. Don't trust in your extra tunic. Don't trust in your sword. Don't trust in the meal you've taken with you. Trust in me. And when we go out as active agents, don't worry about, well, what do I say? How do I start this conversation? Man, it is so simple. We just complicate it. Be active agents, active in obedience, active in following, active in proclaiming the kingdom, active in praying for the sick. Luke chapter 10, verse 1. It's too much to read. I'm running out of time, seriously. The point of it is, if you go and read 1 to 12, we need to understand executing the mission. We need to know how to execute the mission. Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 12. We need to understand how did Jesus do this? We don't need to make them up and write books and things. You know, books are good to read and all that, but just remember it's just someone else's ideas. someone else's interpretation. This is the book. If you want to know how to do it, this is the book you need to read. And then you can add to your knapsack or your arrow, your string, your bow, all the other stuff. Understand Jesus' work, and if we say it, his method. God is ascending God. First thing he did was he sent Abraham, go to another country, I will show you. Abraham packed it all up, man of faith, man of righteousness. Where are we going, Lord? No, he just said, okay. He said, go, I'll show you. And sometimes we need to just go along the road. Philip, go down to the highway on the way to, I can't remember the name of the city, but towards Ethiopia. He goes down, standing in the desert. Remember, I told you? Standing in the desert next to the chariot. Runs up next to the chariot, sees the guy reading. You know the story. Sent Abraham, he sent the 12, he sent the 72, and he sent us. It's all in the Bible. He has a plan to send others ahead of himself. He is coming back one day. He came the first time, he put it all in place, went away, and he says, I'm returning. Lo, I'm with you, and one day I'm coming back. He cares about the lost, and so should we. Even when we get rejected. Verse 10. But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. I will tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Why are they going to reject me? Well, yeah, they will. Some will. And what we do, we don't get all ugly. We go, well, they just don't win. They just say, well, Lord, whatever seed I sowed today, I'll leave it there. Feet off, dust off my feet. Let's go. Show me the next one, Lord. I'm excited about this gospel news. Show me where I can go next, Lord. You walk down and you see the card that you handed out to the other one lying on the street. Oh, they just threw it away. That's okay. Maybe they read it first. We welcome you to join with us. Cross over our bridge to new beginnings and new friendships. They read that and they go, stupid people. And one day, I'm so lonely, I need a friend. One day, I'm tired of my life, I need a new beginning. What was that name of that place? The bridge. Let me go and see. Let me go and find out what they're all about. The point is, what we're all about is not ourselves. We're all about Jesus. We'll give him the glory and the honor in everything. Once you have read the instructions, they will automatically self-destruct. What happened? Go your way. Verse 3. Behold, I'm sending you. Go. Well, I don't know if I should witness. I don't know if I should do that. Let me go home and pray about it. Spiritual bunk. Spiritual nonsense. Jesus already said go. We don't have to go and pray, should I witness to this person? You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the outer parts of the world. You will be my witnesses in Pickering, Ajax, Durham, and the outer parts of the world. Imperatives. Well, I need to just pray about it. Why? You think God's going to give you a different answer? Go and be a blessing. And when they don't accept your blessing, leave your blessing with them. Fellowship with them. Spend time with them. Hey, come over to my house. That's what I love about Lydia and Philip. When they got saved, the first thing they did, they opened their hearts to the gospel and they opened their hearts, their homes to the people. Well, it's my castle. Well, it's the castle that God gave you. Be generous with it. Minister the kingdom and healing. Mission possible, accomplished. Let's go to Luke chapter 19, please. And with this one, I'll close. He entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not, because he was small of stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry up and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he is also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." He was a chief tax collector and he was rich. Who knows that he just didn't need anything else? He was set for life. He was the money man. He was the one who collected the taxes. He was the one that was happy to be where he was. And but yet he was unliked by them. You know, if you're all honest, no one here works for the receiver of revenue, eh? Yeah, CRA. And I shame, we preached this once in this piece of passage once, and the guy was preaching said, "And everybody hates the tax man." And God says, "I work for the tax man." Okay, everyone except him. Yeah, but you got to, end of the year, you got to do your taxes, you got to pull it in, and when you do it wrong, then they send you letters and they're on your case. And because it's money, the root, the treasure, where your heart is, all that kind of stuff. And we see here that poor old Zacchaeus, he was this chief tax collector. But people have all kinds of perceptions about themselves, often not a fault of their own. Sometimes we get these perceptions about people. There's the tax collector, chief tax collector, Zacchaeus. And get all these wrong but here you have someone who needed to be loved. He genuinely needed to be loved. He was seeking love and salvation and acceptance. And just for good measures, I threw this in. If we read through the scripture, you see, in accordance to our values, he encounters God. He's engaged by God. He's equipped and empowered by God. He extends the kingdom. First thing, I already did that too. He was seeking to see who Jesus was. Unfortunately, in Luke 12:34, it says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be also." Now we teach on finance, say, I get what I can and I can what I get. It's all about me and my bank balance and connecting it and collecting it and putting it all together and look at my bank balance. Isn't it great? Now, my mother always used to say to me, "You can't take it with you on a hearse." Yeah, ma. It's all about me. No kingdom heart. Jesus says to him, "Hurry and come down." He says, it was more than Zacchaeus climbed down from the tree. He was saying to him, "Come down from your seat of high nobleness. Come down in humility and come and walk with me, because I want to come to your house today. Come down from your lofty perch to humility, Zacchaeus." He was seeking to see who Jesus was. Here we have a sinner seeking a Savior, and a Savior seeking a sinner. And the question is, as the saved, or as the righteousness of God, are we seeking sinners? Because they are seeking God. We just don't think that. We don't allow our minds to go there sometimes. There will come a time we all bow the knee. We have to come to a point when we acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. When we will bring the Ethiopians into our lives, that we could minister truth and life into them. He calls him by name. It's a prophetic action. He just come into the village and sees this little guy up in a tree and says, "Zacchaeus, come down." Can you imagine? Zacchaeus probably nearly fell out the tree. He got such a fright. My mind goes into pictures. I know what he said. I know who you are, Zacchaeus. I know what you do. I know where you live. In actual fact, I know what you're thinking right now. And sometimes, when we're in a situation like that, God will download into our hearts about the situation, the person, the place, and the time, on how we should actually speak into their lives. Because not one size fits all. We trot out our little gospel message that we prepared at home and stood in front of the mirror. And, you repent or else you're going to hell. We get there and we get a person who's broken and in humbleness and you go, do you know that Jesus loves you? I've come to realize when people are seeking a Savior, they don't need to be told you're a sinner. Because they know it. You don't have to tell a drug addict he's a drug addict. He knows he's a drug addict. You have to tell an alcoholic, you're an alcoholic, you shouldn't drink beer. They know that. They have a sickness. They have a disease that they need healing and deliverance from. The worst thing we can do, and I started speaking about it a little bit earlier, is that sometimes we get into a place and we get someone and we extend grace and love upon them. And the next week they come back and they're not where we think they should be. And that's when we pull out the little rule book. Well, you know, you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that. And if you had done this and if you'd done that, and they go, this yoke upon me is too heavy to bear. It's not the yoke of Jesus. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. And we speak grace. Let me just finish this quickly. Zacchaeus received him joyfully. John 1:10, he was in the world and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own and his own people did not receive him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Just exactly what Chris was exhorting about this morning. Liberty, liberation, and freedom. When Zacchaeus realized, this is the Savior I'm looking for. He received him joyfully. It wasn't, I don't know if we've got any matzos left in the oven. I don't know if there's barley to cook him. I don't know what shore to give him. He was just, yes, Jesus, come to my house today. Come and be in my house. Grace was upon his life. Religion grumbles at grace. What does it say? Sorry, Herod. When they saw it, they all grumbled because he's gone to the sinner's house. Well, where do you think you're going to find people that need Jesus? We have to learn that to withstand and to get rid of the theys in our life. Religious spirit hates the message of grace. Those that are right fighters. It's like when someone says to me, wants to talk about Jesus and the Bible. I say, well, do you believe that the Bible is the Word of God? No, it's just a fairy story. I said, okay, we have nothing to talk about. Because you're wasting your time. Well, no, I want to debate. I want to be the right fighter. I want to make sure they know what I'm talking about. That's not how it happened with the Ethiopian. He was reading the scriptures and he was going along. She says, do you know what you're reading? She says, I haven't a clue. She says, will you explain it to me? Sure. Open door. Explain. His repentance was real. Half of my goods I give to the poor. That wasn't like half of what's in my bank. Half of my goods. Half of everything that I owe. Half of all that I have. I'm going to give to the poor. I'm going to be generous. This salvation is real. My heart has changed. And if I've defrauded anybody, I'm going to give them back four times as much. Exodus 22:1, fulfilling the law. That was the law. He didn't quite get it, but he thought the best thing I can do is give back four times as much. Wasn't required, but he thought I better do that because then I'm fulfilling the law. Then I'm going to be a good guy. the repentance, the metanoia. It changed the way he was thinking. Changed the way. What he changed was, I'm ruling over my life. Who's going to rule over my life now? Jesus, you're the one who's going to rule over my life. And that's why we have to give over to him and say, you are Lord of my life. And then we go out and make all our own decisions we want to make. Today, salvation has come to this house. Last one. You know, we want revival. Who doesn't want revival? We all want revival. But you know, for revival to come, there must be repentance first. Then we have to walk in the repentance. And when revival comes, revival is no good unless there's reformation. And when there's reformation, when we change and we do things differently and we have reformed, then we have restoration. And we look at Zacchaeus, he had repentance. He had, what did he have next? He had revival in his life. He was excited. His reformation was, I'm going to change everything. I'm giving half my goods away. Jesus is in my house. I'm going to give four times back to those that are defrauded, because he knew he had defrauded people. He wasn't just a tax man. He was a cheeky, stealing tax man. The ultimate mission possible. The ultimate. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Be a good agent. Go out within your heart. Let your hearts be changed. Well, I'm okay, Jack. I'm fine. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I'm in my rapture bus. I'm sitting at the bus stop waiting for the rapture train to come by. No. We go, who cares? Jesus is coming. I don't know when. Nobody knows. So why am I going to worry about it? All I've got to do is get on with the mission he's given me. And the mission he's given me, go, bless, fellowship, minister the kingdom, proclaim the kingdom of God, heal the sick. I hope this morning has encouraged you. If you walk out of here feeling beaten, you heard the wrong message. This is to galvanize you. This is to encourage you. This is to uplift you. This is to go say, man, this is possible. Well, no, the pastor and the evangelist, they got to do that. So just a quick thought. I'm way over time. Just a quick thought. If that's what the pastor or pastors are here and the evangelists have got to do, what do you get to do if you don't see yourself as a pastor or an evangelist? We all do the work of an evangelist, he said to Philip. Just go and do it. Go out there. Go and just put some thoughts. These people are in darkness. I've got to get them into the light. Don't get all weird with that, but you know what I'm saying. Anyway, I could go on for another half an hour, but I'm not going to. But I want you to go out and be the best agent on mission possible. This is possible. I'm shy. No, it's possible. Trust me, I've told you before. I was a very excessively, ridiculously, stupidly shy person. Yeah. No, not you. No. Salvation came to my house one day. Changed me. Made me a different person. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. All things have become new. I walk in the fullness and the liberty, the freedom of knowing who I am in Christ. And so do you. Just take hold of it. Go out. Let's blitz Durham region for the kingdom. Because there are other churches out there, as you know, we're part of the fraternal we go to, and that's the heart's cry of all the churches out there. As Reinhard Bonnke would say, we want to plunder hell to populate heaven. How's my accent, hot? Good, okay. Father, we just thank you for your Son, Jesus, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us a mission, that you've created us in your image, that you have made it that we can be Christ-like, that you have called us to victory, Lord, that you have called us to be freedom fighters, that you've called us to be liberators, that you have called us to open the blind eyes, that you have called us to set the captives free, that you have called us, Lord God, to bring light and liberty into people's lives. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. All God's people said, Amen. Amen.